भगवते वासुदेवाया। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाया। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाया। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 26 टेक्स्ट 30 आई गेस थ्रू 32 द हेलिश प्लैनेट्स अताचायस्त्विह महात्मा समवनेन स्वयं अदमो जन्म तपा वद्यचार वर्णश्रमवतो वर्यसो न बहु मन्येत समार्थक एव मृत्वा क्षरकार्दमे निरये वक्षिर निपतितो दुरन्त यतन हि अश्नुते अत फर्दरमोर चा ऑल्सो या एनीवन हु टू बट इहा इन दिस लाइफ वा ओर आत्मसंभवनेन by false prestige swayam himself adama very degraded janma good birth tapa austerities vidya knowledge achara good behavior varna ashrama vata in terms of strictly following the principles of varna ashrama Varyasa, of one who is more honorable. Na, not. Bahu, much. Manyeta, respects. Sa, he. Mritaka, a dead body. Eva, only. Mritva, after dying. Charakardame, Name Charakarda Nama. Naraye, in the hell. Avakshira, with his head downward. Nipatita, thrown. Duranta Yatana, severe painful conditions. He, indeed, Ashnute, suffers. Translation. And purport by His Divine Grace, Shiva Prabhupada. A low-born and abominable person who in this life becomes falsely proud, thinking, I am great, and who thus fails to show proper respect to one more elevated than he by birth, austerity, education, behavior, caste, or spiritual order, is like a dead man even in this lifetime. And after death, he is thrown headfirst into the hell known as Kshara-kardama. There he must suffer great tribulation at the hands of the agents of Yamaraj. Not to sound like I'm great or anything, but what's that last sentence, Archita? There he must great suffer great tribulation at the hands of the agents of Yamaraj. Purport. One should not become falsely proud. One must be respectful toward a person more elevated than he by birth, education, behavior, caste, or spiritual order. If one does not show respect to such highly elevated persons, but indulges in false pride, he receives punishment in Kshara-kardama. Text 31. There are men and women in this world who sacrifice human beings to Bhairava or Bhadra Kali, and then eat their victim's flesh. Those who perform such sacrifices are taken after death to the abode of Yamaraj, where their victims, having taken the form of Rakshasas, cut them to pieces with sharpened swords. Just as in this world, the man-eaters drank their victim's blood, dancing and singing in jubilation, their victims now enjoy drinking the blood of the sacrificers, and celebrating in the same way. Text 32. In this life, some people give shelter to animals and birds that come to them for protection in the village or forest. And after making them believe that they will be protected, such people pierce them with lances or threads and play with them like toys, giving them great pain. After death, such people are brought by the assistance of Yamaraj to the hell known as Sulaprota, where their bodies are pierced with sharp needle-like lances. They suffer from hunger and thirst, and sharp-beaked birds such as vultures and herons come at them from all sides to tear at their bodies. Tortured and suffering, they can then remember the sinful activities they committed in the past. Text 33. Those who in this life are like envious serpents, always angry and giving pain to other living entities, fall after death into the hell known as Danda Shuka. My dear king, in this hell there are serpents with 5 or 7 hoods. These serpents eat such sinful persons just as snakes eat mice. Text 34. Only 2 more texts. Those in this life confine other living entities in dark wells, granaries, or mountain caves, are put after death into the hell known as Avata Nirodhana. There they themselves are pushed into dark wells where poisonous fumes and smoke suffocate them and they suffer very severely. And text 35. A householder who receives guests or visitors with cruel glances, as if to burn them to ashes, is put into the hell called Paryavartana, where he is gazed at by hard-eyed vultures, herons, crows, and similar birds, which suddenly swoop down and pluck out his eyes with great force. Purport, according to Vedic etiquette, even an enemy who comes to a householder's home should be received in such a gentle way that he forgets that he has come to the home of an enemy. A guest who comes to one's home should be received very politely. If he is unwanted, the householder should not stare at him with blinking eyes, for one who does so will be put into the hell known as Paryavartana after death. And there are many ferocious birds like vultures, crows, and cockneys will suddenly come upon him and pluck out his eyes. Anybody know what a cockney is? It must be some type of bird I've never heard. Om Agyana Tibirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Mintam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurudeva Namah. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto his lotus feet. So herein, real hell is described. This isn't a fantasy. Bhagavatam is never allegory, unless it says that this is an allegory. Srimad Bhagavatam is factual. These are the planets that exist, and these are the hells that one goes to. And even in this life, we've all experienced that when we feel feelings of envy or disrespect, then we become envied and disrespected. That hell is even on this earth. Actually, this planet is known as Martyaloka. It is the planet of death, where there's a little bit of heaven and a little bit of hell. There's some heavenly pleasures, but there's also hellish life that exists even in this life, even in this world. So many difficulties and so many diseases. We think that we're very comfortable. We think that we're enjoying. But old age and disease are just waiting around the corner. And they're definitely not fun. What to speak of death? Death, everyone is praying, I hope that I die in my sleep. I have a heart attack and I don't feel it. And I'm just sleeping. Or I go to Tijuana and they put me under and I die. but it's not so easy. One, it's at the time of death, actually, it's said that the life airs, which go in a clockwise direction, and the soul is there within the heart, contained within the life airs. When one is, time is up to breathe one's last breath, we have so many breaths to take in this life. And when the breath is finished, when it's ordained, this is the last breath, then the life airs go in a counterclockwise fashion. Like taking a car that's going down the 405 in drive and throwing it into reverse. And the body starts to fill up with bile and mucus. So much so that at the time of death, sometimes people see that someone is gurgling, that the person who's leaving the body is gurgling because the body has filled up with bile and mucus because the life airs have gone in the opposite direction. Or the blood, sometimes the blood is dripping into the lungs and one is drowning. They call it congenital heart failure. So even in this world, so many hellish situations due to the body. This body we're trying to enjoy like anything. We're trying to identify. We think we're this body. But the body is giving us different types of hell. Little tiny taste of heavenly pleasure, so-called pleasure, and lots of hellish situation, practically. So even in this life, we're experiencing hell. What to speak, these actual planets are described. These places are described where one has to go at the time of death when one is very sinful and when one has committed particular activities that are punishable by Yamaraj. So this is the actual fate. Unlike the Christian conception, hell isn't forever. Hell is a temporary situation also. We've been to the different hellish planets. We've been through 8,400,000, 8 million species of life to get to this human form of life. We have been in different hellish conditions. We've seen these different hellish conditions. Therefore, a devotee's business is to save people from hell. People are suffering. They're going to hell. Just like one time we were at a trade show, and this big, big New Age healer, she had a big sign above her booth, the Hay House. She was a very famous lady. She's a big healer. Their booth was next to ours, and it said, "If it feels good, do it." So I said to her, "You know, if it feels good, does that necessarily mean that it's good for the other person? That it's good for everyone?" She said, "Oh, yes. If it feels good, that means that everyone benefits." I said, "Well, my spiritual master had a story. There's a famous story that Srila Prabhupada told, that once upon a time there was a little boy, and he was throwing rocks at a frog. Frog could talk. Frog said, 'What are you doing?' And the boy said, 'I'm playing. It feels good. I'm playing.'" Prabhupada tells the story. And the frog says, "Well, it's playing for you, but it's killing me." So idea is, no, if it feels good, someone else may be suffering. Just like there's the hell that one has to go to when one keeps pets and uses them for torture. I remember when we were young, and I probably have to pay for this sooner or later, we used to go in Chicago, and when there are ants, a big hill of ants, We were four-year-old boys like this. What was that that had to come back because he pierced a bug when he was... Mundaka Muni. So I remember we would take, in the heat of the Chicago sun, we would go where the anthills were in back of the houses we lived in, and we would sit among the ants, thousands of ants, and put rows of caps. I'm sorry to admit this, but we would put rows of caps all over the anthills, then put up the magnifying glass in the heat of the sun, and with the caps blowing up all over the anthills, tried to destroy the ants in the anthills. Very sinful. We thought it was playing. You want to go kill some ants? Ask our friends. You want to go and... You got the caps? I got the magnifying glass. We were thinking, this is good fun. And it says here, you're going to Kalabaksha, or one of those planets. We thought it was innocent fun. No, you have to suffer repeatedly. Therefore, natevidu swargagatihi Vishnu. People don't know the ultimate goal of life is Vishnu. Therefore, they waste their time endeavoring in so-called fun. Durashaya ye bahir artamanina. Antan yatandayar upaniyamanas te pisatantriyam urudamni badha. The blind leading the blind, looking for gratification in so many different ways. If I take this drug, or if I just do this thing, or try this, or destroy that, or go hunting or fishing or some terrible thing, this will be pleasure. If it feels good, then I think I should do it. This is the lunacy of the poor people in this age of Kali. Natevidu swargagatihi Vishnu. They don't know what is to be done, what is not to be done. Therefore, devotees, pranai swai panina panti sarva chanabhangurai paravaireshu bhuteshu mohiteshu atmamayaya. Just like Lord Shiva, to save the living entities, he drank the poison from the ocean. He could do that, and his lips turned, what was it, blue? His mouth turned blue? His neck turned blue? Okay, something turned blue. That the business of devotees is to save others, is to give people the opportunity to hear about Krishna consciousness, to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Srila Prabhupada had said that there are different types of chanting. Sometimes we get a little confused. We think that chanting is some performance or some kind of social event. But actually, Srila Prabhupada said that there's chanting offensive, there is clearing, and there is offenseless, pure chanting. And that as sadhakas, as devotees, and devotees means that we're sadhakas, that we have a sadhana. Just like the Christians, they don't have a sadhana. They believe in Jesus, most Christians. And they think that just because I believe, therefore I'm a spiritual person. Or because I try to do good for others, when people are suffering or they need food or there's a disaster, I send a donation because I'm a very spiritual person. I care about the poor and the suffering, therefore I'm a very spiritual person. But actually, real spirituality means that one has a practice, a serious practice, that one is a sadhaka. Sometimes it's been said that even in the Hebrew language, the name for a saintly person is a tzaddik. sadhika. And of course, in Sanskrit, a saint is a sadhu or a sadhaka, one who practices spirituality, rising early, chanting, performing deity worship, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting japa attentively, 16 rounds, engaging in a real practice of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada was describing that the third class chanting means when one has no regard for sadhana, when one has no regard for the regular principles of freedom, when one has no regard for the 10 offenses, or doesn't even know what the 10 offenses or regular principles of freedom are. It's nice that someone is chanting, but that chanting is said to be third class or offensive. The actual word is offensive chanting, on the platform of offensive. When one knows the regular principles of freedom, and one knows sadhana, and one knows the 10 offenses, and one may not be perfectly following, but one is striving for following the 10, for guarding against the 10 offenses and following the regular principles, that is second class chanting or clearing stage of chanting. And of course, when one is perfectly following the regular principles of freedom and guarding carefully against the 10 offenses Prabhupada described, and has an impeccable sadhana, that is first class, pure chanting. That is what we're striving for. Not for the purpose of my own aggrandizement or for profit, adoration, and distinction. That is another pitfall. But for the purpose of pleasing Lord Krishna. The kirtan means, chanting means, engaging in service means samsarir haritosanam, to give pleasure to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Our lives may be whatever our lives may be, but the purpose is to give pleasure to that Supreme Person. And the greatest pleasure, as Lord Shiva showed, of course, as Srila Prabhupada showed, is that people are suffering. They're going to hell. We're reading all these descriptions. Devotees, it says, don't have to see hell. They don't have to go. Of course, we were discussing last time that we might have to briefly see if we hesitate when the instruction is given from authority, just like the Pandavas. They hesitated to follow Krishna. Yudhisthira hesitated to tell a lie. So if we're hesitating or not following, maybe we'll have to see hell. The Pandavas saw hell. Prabhupada says that. But certainly we don't have to remain in hell. But all these other people, Natevidu Swargagatihi Vishnu, they don't know what purpose of life is, and therefore their life is just leading them without Krishna consciousness. They're going straight to hell. They're going to see Dandasukha, Kalasutra, Krimi Bhojana, Kumbhipaka, Sukramukha, Raurava, Maharaurava. They're on their way. They're on their way. And it's actually not even funny, because they will suffer greatly. And the pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada, out of great compassion, he saw that we were going to Raurava and Maharaurava. We thought we were headed to Maui. We were headed to Sukramukha. We were trying to buy a ticket to California from Chicago. But actually, we were working up the credits what do they call that when you get on a flight, the free frequent flyer miles. We were working on our frequent flyer miles to Creamy Bojana. Prabhupada saw these boys and girls, they're headed for Sukramukha, Creamy Bojana, Kumbhipaka. Not an allegory. We were headed. We were, some of us, in Creamy Bojana and Sukramukha, Maharorava. And Prabhupada, out of his great compassion and mercy and kindness, he came and gave us Krishna consciousness. He came and gave us the principles of freedom. He came and gave us the chanting of Hare Krishna, worshiping the deity, his books. With all this transcendental information and prasadam, he gave us so many great gifts to save us. And also, it was our spiritual master's desire to build an army of soldiers, servants of Krishna. What is it Prabhupada said? We are soldiers of Krishna, servants of Arjuna. Even though our strength may not be as big as theirs, we go and present in any way possible. Just like the Pandavas, they were only 7 Akshohinis of soldiers compared to the 11 Akshohinis of the Kauravas. Still, because Krishna was on their side, because all the great Pandavas were on the side, they had no trouble in 18 days defeating the 11 Akshohinis, destroying them all in the great battle of Kurukshetra. So, our business, that people are going to hell, they're suffering, they're headed to hell. Our great mission is, our spiritual master's mission, he wanted an army. He wanted soldiers of Krishna, servants of Arjuna, to go and give people Krishna consciousness far and wide as much as possible. He wanted all of us to take the responsibility as he had done. Work hard and worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the fruits of one's hard labor for existence, Prabhupada said in the first canto of Bhagavatam, and this is our motto for life. Prabhupada said, I want the benediction to be able to fight to the last breath. So our business as soldiers of Krishna, servants of Arjuna, is to not only become better sadhakas, impeccable sadhakas, so important, and associate with the sadhakas, with other sadhakas, and not associate with those that aren't sadhakas. Associate with the sadhakas and stay free from the association of those that aren't sadhakas. Our business is to spread this movement through chanting a prasadam and Srila Prabhupada's books mainly, far and wide, to save people from going to these places. Because there's no question, unless something is done to change the course of their activities, people are going straight to Sukramukha. We can tell them, you're headed straight for Creamy Bojana. That doesn't sound quite as bad as you're going to hell. You're going to hell. Sounds a little preachy. You may be going to Creamy Bojana. Sounds interesting. And they may inquire further what that means. This is our business, is scary places. And even this world is a very scary place. Param param yadvi param natesam. Danger at every step. Never know when some calamity may befall us. And therefore our business is to be as Krishna conscious as we can be 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And associate only with those persons that are Krishna conscious. Our association with persons that aren't Krishna conscious is only for the purpose of giving them Krishna consciousness. Not in a condescending and haughty manner. We can make it attractive, of course, just like here, a nice restaurant, nice gift shop, nice temple room, everything very appreciable. But it is our business to give everyone Krishna consciousness. Any question or discussion? I'm sorry that I was late, but I walk very slow right now. I'm hoping to pick it up in the next few weeks. Yes, Vanabhata Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu, for a very nice class. I have a question. I don't know if you'll have the answer, but it seems like it's a good point for discussion. Because it's mentioned that when one suffers on these hellish planets, people are shocked into remembering why they're suffering and the activities that brought them there. So I'm wondering to what extent that, you know, that purgatory, the suffering they undergo in the hellish planets protects them from future suffering.
It does say that, but it also says that at the time of birth, the birth itself is so catastrophic, and being in the womb of a mother is so catastrophic. It says that one is praying when one is in the womb of the mother because one is being bit. I think this is third canto, part three. One is being bit by worms, and there's so many cooped up in the womb. And one is just praying, I'll never do this again. Please, Lord, get me out of here. Same as you're saying when one is in hell. One is constantly praying, let's say. But at the time of birth, one becomes completely confused again. That birth is such a catastrophic situation, one forgets. I think yesterday, Prabhuji was saying the Avaranatmaka, and the covering up and the bewildering. What is it? Avaranatmaka and Prasopagatmaka. The different features. So we become bewildered again and not understanding what we had prayed for previously. There was a song that came out that is actually very interesting by George Harrison. And it's called Cracker Box Palace. And it came out a long, long, long time ago, I think, when he first met Prabhupada. And it talks about, we welcome you to Cracker Box Palace. When you're born, it's from the Bhagavatam, that you're treated very nicely and that everyone's pinching you and saying how cute you are, so that they want you to become a part of Cracker Box Palace. And that if you don't go along with the idea of Cracker Box Palace, we'll have no other choice than to deport you from Cracker Box Palace. My understanding is, and I read something about it, that he was talking about living in this material world, that we forget at the time of birth where we came from and what hellish conditions we've lived in, and we'd start to try to enjoy again. I'm sorry, Archita.
It depends on what you deserve. In other words, you can't fool Krishna. If you're just praying for the moment, which we all do, you're in a tight situation, you go, oh my God, everybody, it's such a famous phrase now, right? Everybody says, OMG, oh my God, oh my God. You don't really mean it. You don't really mean it. So you get what you deserve. Like Parikshit Maharaj, he saw Krishna in the womb, and that's why he was named Parikshit, because he's always looking for Krishna after that. So that he was motivated to look for Krishna, but we're not so motivated. We cry out to Krishna when it hurts, and then when it feels good, we do it. Just like your friend. Feels good, do it, and then you forget about Krishna. So Krishna, you can't fool him. He'll give you what you really want. If what you really want is to feel good doing whatever, then okay, here's the opportunity. But if you really want Krishna, like Parikshit did, then you get Krishna.
Third canon says, Karmana Daivane Trena, Jantor Deho Upapateye. According to our karma, our past activities, and Daiva, the will of the Supreme, Karmana Daiva Netrena, one takes birth in a particular womb of a particular mother to live a particular style of life, to be conditioned in a particular life. Any more question? Yeah, Prabhu? That's a very good question. Prabhupada one time said, maybe many times said, we are soldiers of Krishna, servants of Arjuna. Meaning that we are Krishna soldiers. Servants of Arjuna means that Arjuna was the greatest of warriors. Whenever one thinks of the great Pandavas and the greatest of warriors, one thinks of Arjuna. And we are Arjuna's servants. So the idea is, in a spiritual sense, not physically, we're not Kshatriyas, we're Vaishnavs, we're not even really Brahmins, we're Vaishnavs. But in a spiritual sense, we are servants of Arjuna because we are fighting the battle of giving people Krishna consciousness. And that's also declaring war on Maya. It's a mission. So it doesn't mean that we're going to fight. Don't start studying martial arts. Even though it's very interesting, Prabhupada said at one time, Dharma Kshetra, Kurukshetra, Samaveda Jujutsava. So Prabhupada said, what is that they have stolen from us, the Japanese, and now the Brazilians? So devotees were like, what's the fighting art, Prabhupada said in a lecture. Samaveda Jujutsava. The Jujutsava, Jujitsu, is an Indian art. Get ready to fight. They were all on the battlefield. Jujutsava, prepared to fight. So this Jujitsu that the Japanese have taken, Brazilians have taken, it's from the Bhagavad Gita. It's Jujutsava. But we don't have to do that kind of Jujitsu. Only Jujitsu you have to do is whatever Savas tells you to do. And that you'll be a servant of Arjuna by that service. All glories to Sri Guru and Granada.